Live from the Great American Beer Festival and sponsored by Yard House Restaurants, this is the GABF Beer and Food Pavilion. Give it up, everybody! My name is Andy Sparhawk. I represent the Brewers Association and craftbeer.com. It's my pleasure to welcome you to this little slice of heaven crammed inside beer paradise. Before we get started, I just want to let you know this is the Beer and Food Pavilion. You will be served beer and food. Let's follow along with our guests, just so we don't get confused on what we're eating at the same time. And also that craftbeer.com is recording these and will be available later on this week. So if you have any revelations that you need to go back to, some notes that you didn't get, please visit craftbeer.com for that. This is the Deschutes Brewery Collaboration Tasting Experience. And with me here, I have the corporate executive chef, Chef Jeff Usinowitz.
There you go.
I'm sorry, I've been practicing all night.
No worries.
Brewer Ben and Chef Brandon from Providence Tavern in Edgewater, correct? Please give it up for these gentlemen.
All right, thanks everybody for coming down. We're super stoked to be in Denver again. Obviously, we're here every year. Get great support from everybody from Colorado and all over the nation. So we really appreciate you coming out. Chef Brandon has thrown together some great food. I got to admit, I had nothing to do with it. It's all about this guy. He's killing it. We collaborated on the menu, went through the tasting profiles, had a lot of fun talking over the Rockies, shall I say. And obviously then collaborated with Ben here with how we're going to put this together with the beer. So I think the way this is going to roll out is we're going to have Ben kind of talk about their beers first. I'm going to talk about a little bit of the food and what we've talked about. And then we'll have Brandon sort of comment on some of the finer points of what's going on. So it looks like we're starting off with the Class of 88 Collaboration Barley Wine. So I'm going to pass that off to Ben and then we'll talk about food in a second.
Thanks, Jeff. How's everybody doing? Good, good. Does everybody have a beer? Perfect. All right, I'll tell you a little bit about this beer. This was the first of a couple of collaborations we've been doing this year to celebrate our 25th anniversary. We reached out to a lot of other breweries around the country who are also celebrating their 25th anniversary. So this first barley wine that you guys have in front of you, we reached out to Rogue and North Coast and decided to work together and put a recipe together for a barley wine. Give you a little rundown on the beer itself. It's 10.2% alcohol, about 70 BUs, although it doesn't drink like it to me. It's got enough sweetness and alcohol to kind of balance that bitterness out. It's pretty pale. We decided to keep it a little bit lighter for the style, so mostly some Maris Otter malt, a little bit of Caramel, but yeah, pretty light for the spectrum for barley wines, but really nice, rich malt body. We tried to dry it out a fair amount, but keep a good, assertive malt character for it as well. Our yeast doesn't like to take stuff super dry, so there's definitely a good full body there. Hop-wise, we used some classic hops for the Northwest, and we got to use some newer hops, Northern Brewer and Cascade, to kind of give it a really nice citrusy floral nose. And we also used a little bit of Mosaic hops in the for the aromatic addition for this beer. So if you guys aren't familiar with Mosaics, they're super exciting hops, relatively new, but get notes of blueberry, some tropical fruit, some citrus. It just kind of runs the gamut. So yeah, cheers. I'll hand it back over to Jeff and Brandon. They can kind of tell you about the food and why they decided to pair it with this beer.
Right on. Thanks, Ben. All right, cool. Well, I guess it's time to dive in. We're looking at a locally made sausage here in town, and that's Bella Fiore. Is that correct? And that's on 38th and...
Fenton.
Fenton. Thanks, Brandon. And then Brandon threw together the root vegetable puree, which is parsnip and celery root. And then you hit that with a hint of baking spice, right? What was that?
Nutmeg.
Very cool. You got the roasted peach on there. The creamy mustard chev and a little fresh mint. Now, in the creamy mustard chev, what were the components of putting that together, Chef?
It's a simple mixture. It's just honey, spicy mustard, and then mostly Haystack Mountain goat cheese.
And that goat cheese is coming out of Colorado, right? Cool. What part of Colorado is it coming out of? Okay, it comes from somewhere in Colorado. No worries. Hey, it's all good, man. We're putting this guy on the spot, so it's all good. And then the other thing, in talking to Ben, the aromatics of the mint, you know, and then the aromatics of the beer is kind of what you were thinking about putting together, Chef, right? So, and do you think that sort of brings out sort of the sweetness of it, or more malt, the kind of the maltiness, or how do you feel that really paired to kind of finish the dish?
I think the mint kind of plays a little bit with the sweetness of it. The whole idea of it was to kind of match the brightness and the sweetness of the barley wine without overpowering anything in the dish.
Very cool, man. How's everybody doing out there? All right. Thank you very much, man. I know Chef and his team put a lot of work into this. You know, it's been really cool to collaborate since I've been in Denver. We've been able to enjoy working with Providence Tavern. Euclid Hall down the street where we did our opening party. All you from Colorado, I got to say, you got a rocking culinary scene. The fact you love our beers is great. And, yeah, I think we're going to dive on in. So if you guys have questions, I know we got the MC running around. Raise your hand, whatever. But I think we're going to eat for about 2 seconds, and then we'll start rolling out the next course. So thanks all for coming. We'll talk to you in a little bit.
Just to elaborate on what Jeff just said, there should be a mic going around the room. So if you guys have any questions that you want to ask, just flag them down. It's going to be kind of tough for us to hear you without it.
I got one right here, actually.
Can you talk a little bit more about the beer collaboration? I mean, what did each of the collaborators bring to the process of creating the beer in collaboration?
I can speak a little bit to it. It was mostly our brewmaster, Cam O'Connor, worked really closely with Rogue and North Coast. I know originally the game plan was to set out to try to recreate barley wine that Fred Eckhart wrote about years ago when he kind of put out the book. But, yeah, they kind of deviated from that. Eventually, and I think one of the things was that we had access to Mosaic hops, and everybody was really excited to use them and get them into this beer and see what kind of contribution they could have and how they would play with the malt.
Chef Ben, I know that you want to eat, but I got another question for you while everyone else is eating. It's been a reoccurring question throughout the whole session. Throughout the session, can you talk a little bit about Deschutes water character, and if there's anything that you need to do? Obviously, you guys are really into your water. Can you talk a little bit about that? Tell them what I asked them earlier.
So the question was about Deschutes water and why we think it's so important for us. We've got a really fresh source of water that's really soft. We don't have to do much to treat that, and we can kind of use that as a baseline and use various brewing salts to recreate any type of water composition around the world without having to invest a lot of money to get it back to a clean slate. So it's something that we feel really fortunate about being in the location that we are. Hold tight, everybody. We've got a 10% beer, a 9% beer, and I think an 11% beer we're going to be going through here. So, you guys might be looking like me by the end of the hour here.
Well, I got to admit, we've been rolling kind of hard lately. So these brew fests keep us busy from about 7 in the morning till 3 a.m. So if we... you know, you're all here, you're living it, you know how it goes. So, but it sure is a blast.
two of them. What's the significance of the class of 88?
The question was, what's the significance of the class of 88? It was the year that we were founded, the year the brewery started. So being 2013, it's our 25th anniversary. And we started talking last year about who else is celebrating their 25th anniversary. It's a pretty significant milestone for the still kind of young craft beer movement. So we decided to reach out to everybody who has made it 25 years as well and see if people wanted to collaborate. I believe the gentleman in the front has a question.
I think he wants to.
There's some issues down here with this.
I think he just wants to collaborate. Talk about, obviously beer and food. Deschutes has a pub. Was it originally a pub?
Yeah, the MC brought up a really cool point. And that's kind of our culinary vision at Deschutes Brewery. As I said earlier, as he introduced me, I've recently been elevated to the corporate executive chef position. And what we're thinking about that, I was the original executive chef of our Portland location about 6 years ago. And it's been a really cool vision of our owner, Gary Fish, that we really start bringing experiences together with our beers. And by doing that, what my role will be, partially not only by mentoring my two culinary teams in Bend and Portland, Oregon, will to be hitting sales trips, trying to do beer dinners with the sales team before we even release our beers into the market so that the opportunity we have there is to create experiences. I'm sure all you guys, beer is an experience. It's not just for breakfast anymore. It's really cool that we'll be able to go into these markets. I'll be in Philly beginning of November. We'll be rolling into Nebraska, Ohio, Michigan, right? So we have all these new states that we're moving into heading east. And so that's kind of where we're coming from. Like I said, I had an amazing experience with Jarrell, the chef at Euclid, producing a dinner for Firestone Brewing, who is fantastic, and Leopold Spirits here that's based in Denver, also awesome. And we did an eight-course dinner. I wish I had some pictures I could put up on the screens because it's unbelievable what's going on with beer and food nowadays. And I'm sure you guys understand that. And, short story while we're passing food, when I got into this whole thing, I was like, it was actually my girlfriend. I was, had finished a corporate chef job. And she's like, oh, Deschutes Brewery's looking for a new chef to open the Portland location. I'm like, oh, man, I'm not going to, I've been in fine dining. I'm out of Manhattan, I've already seen a lot of good food. Brew pubs don't even really have that good of food, and so I don't know if I'm really into that. But after meeting Gary Fish and rolling with the Deschutes team and what we built in Portland, if you've been there, we've had our ups and downs. So I'm not saying we're perfect, but we're really trying to push the envelope and really get into charcuterie and sausage making. And I got a guy out of northern Italy making fresh pastas for us now. And, I've got farmers growing our food for us. And Oregon, obviously, we have a bounty of wonderful ingredients. So we're really trying to embrace that as quality ingredients, just like the quality ingredients we use in our beer. If that wasn't the longest answer to a question, I don't know what is. But I hope you guys are enjoying yourself, and that's what we're all about at Deschutes. So thank you so much.
If I can keep it going, obviously Deschutes is distributed here in Colorado and everything like that. I think we take for granted that Deschutes isn't necessarily in all 50 states. Is that correct? What states are you in, and do you plan on expanding?
You put me on the spot, man.
Sorry.
I can tell you our newest state that we just went into is Pennsylvania. So we made our first
East Coast stop. Early in the year was Chicago, but for the most part, west of the Mississippi. As Jeff was talking about, next year we're going to be going into Ohio, Wisconsin,
Kentucky,
Michigan, and the rest of Pennsylvania.
So maybe I have a question for the group. How many of you in the audience are from here in Colorado? Raise your hand. How many of you are from a different state? So a good amount. How many of you already get to shoots in your state? How many of you don't already get? What state are you from?
Alabama.
Alabama. Soon to be. To be determined.
All right. Looks like we got all the food out in front. Everybody got beers and everything. All right. Cheers to the second course. All right. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. All right. Well, then we're going to pass off to Ben, and we'll talk about the smoked porter.
All right. So this was a collaboration that we did with Great Lakes Brewing, and it was really exciting for us because Black Butte Porter has been was our flagship beer for so many years, and it's been a beer that's turned so many people onto craft beer and to Schutz Brewery in the first place. And Great Lakes has Edmund Fitzgerald Porter, which has kind of done the same thing for them. Two porters that are near and dear to our hearts. And so it was exciting for us to work together and come up with a recipe for a porter that kind of highlights aspects of both of our beers, yet is a little bit of a departure. So the beer is about 9% alcohol, about 50 BUs, and it highlights a good amount of roast character, which we felt was Edmund Fitzgerald has a really nice roast character that comes out of that porter. We used a lot of chocolate malt as well because Black Butte Porter just has that really nice chocolate note with a touch of smoke. We decided to elevate the smoke a little bit. We used some cherrywood smoked malt from Brees, which of the smoked malts out there, we really like using it. It's a really assertive smoke. Plays really well with the roast and the chocolate notes. We also used a little bit of Muscovado sugar, which gives a really nice molasses contribution. Helped us dry the beer out a little bit more, kind of boost the alcohol a little bit. But the molasses, I feel like you can really get in the nose and kind of plays well with everything. Yeah, this one is definitely a showcase on malt and what you can really do with that.
All right, cool. Thanks, Ben. All right, cool. Well, Chef and I have been kind of talking. Oh, somebody dropped a glass. Oh, my God. Anyway, we've been talking about, the pork that you're using, and that's a Berkshire pig, right, which is a really high-end single kind of pork that is also, I believe, a local product. The cool thing that I learned from Chef in this process, in the menu, it's called a Chipotle Mako. Is that correct? And there's three levels of Chipotle. Do you mind explaining those three levels, Chef?
The three levels, the Mako is on the mild side of Chipotle. Chipotle is actually a process of smoking and drying a pepper. So I wanted to go with a mild so that nobody gets, overpowered with spice and it burns their palate. And so that's why I ground those up. Dry rub the pork belly just to give it a hint of a smokiness, a little, hint of a spice, but kind of round out the pork belly itself.
Awesome, man. Thanks a lot. And I really do think that the kind of the smokiness of the Chipotle peppers sort of kind of brings out a little bit more of the malt and sort of kind of brings the smokiness of the porter down a little bit, which is really nice. And then, the fattiness of that Berkshire pork belly really kind of cuts through the smoke and works with the sugars of the beer. And I think that's I love pork belly with just about every beer, but it works out really well. And then when you rolled out the Granny Apple, Jicama, and Daikon Root salad, finished with that tart mole. And in our discussions, we were like, well, we're going to bring some acidity into this dish. And how would you explain that affects the beer?
I would say that with pork belly being rich, with the beer itself being rich, the acidity of the salad is kind of there to help keep your palate fresh and to not get overpowered. And then the mole itself kind of plays off the chocolate notes within the beer. So we wanted to kind of be able to drink the beer entirely without ever getting overpowered through the whole dish.
Right on. Very well executed. You guys enjoying everything out there so far? Nice. Thank you. All right, cool. Well, that's kind of our synopsis of dish number two. So please, more questions, MC. Anything we can do to offer a little more education? I can tell another story if you like. Do a little song and dance. I don't know, but we'll do what you need to do.
I guess I have a question for Chef Brandon. If you could tell us a little bit more about Providence Tavern and what types of foods you have there in Edgewater.
Cool. Yeah. So the question is about Providence Tavern. Yeah. Cool.
Providence Tavern, we've been open in Edgewater for almost 4 years now. It'll be 4 years on January 21st. Our whole goal there is to be a neighborhood-style, comfortable bar, be very approachable to everybody, and be very open to anybody who wants to come in. And from my perspective, as far as food goes, I want to take everything that I've learned in fine dining and keep it under $10 a plate. So it's very affordable, very approachable, and, you know, just wants to have a comfortable feeling for anybody who comes in.
Actually, Chef, I got a question for you. How long did you braise the belly for?
The belly is braised for about 5 hours. It's rubbed down. It was actually initially brined, then rubbed, let sit overnight with the rub on it, and then braised for about 5 hours. In a little bit of the smoked porter, a little bit of cider vinegar, and water.
That is fantastic, man. That goes excellent with the porter. Cool. Any other questions?
Brewer Ben, each of these beers, I believe, are collaborations. We already had a request for you to collaborate. How do you choose who you collaborate with, and what do you like about collaborating with other brewers?
Well, these two projects that we've tasted so far was pretty easy. You just had to have started in 1988.
Right.
It was a pretty easy process of elimination for that one, but we've done collaborations with Boulevard, Hair of the Dog, which we're going to try here shortly. Really, we're looking for somebody who we feel is also being very innovative and trying to push the envelope, and a brewery that we feel we're going to be able to learn something from as well. Or a brewery that we've had a really good relationship with for a long time. But for this one, you had to start in 1988.
Oh, cool.
So, Chefs,
we got a question over here.
All right.
Question for you?
There he is.
So you said that the Chipotle, there's three levels. Are all the Chipotles based on a jalapeno?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's correct. For anybody who's, the question was Chipotles and what they are. That is a smoked jalapeno. And actually, I'm interested to hear, there's differences in the pepper when they smoke them, right, Chef?
Yeah, there are differences in the peppers, and Chipotle itself doesn't specifically have to mean jalapeno. It's actually a process of drying and smoking the pepper. But Mako's, they generally pick younger jalapenos that haven't gotten as ripe and as spicy. And then they usually end up with a kind of tan skin and a much darker brown interior.
Looks like the third course coming out now.
Oh, yes.
All right. This is the course I've been extremely excited to check out. All right. Thank you, Chef. All right. Crispy salami.
As this dish is coming out for you guys, I'll tell you a little bit about this beer. If you're not familiar with it already, this is Collage. We also call this Conflux number one. Conflux being the name for our series of collaborative beers that we've been doing. This one actually came out after our Conflux number two that we did with Boulevard. We brewed this first. The first time we brewed this was in 2010, and it sat in oak for over 2 years. So it's been a really exciting project for us, and there's a lot going on. This was a collaboration with Alan Sprints and Hair of the Dog. The idea behind this was Alan came into the Deschutes Brewery in Bend, and we brewed two of his beers on our system and then brewed two of our beers. For Hair of the Dog, we brewed his Fred and Adam, and we brewed a version of Dissident and Stoic, which is a quad that we released back in 2010. So we brewed these four beers in Bend and then put them into pretty much any type of oak barrel that we could get our hands on. We used some wine casks from three different Pinot suppliers from Oregon, or peat wineries. We used some bourbon barrels, rye whiskey. We used some new Oregon oak that hadn't seen any liquid prior to that. We also brought in some sherry pipes and some cognac barrels. So we split those four beers up amongst the different casks. And when it was coming time to release it, we went through and painstakingly tasted every single cask. And just a little much. Went through, separated out a couple casks that we didn't want to see as part of the final blend. And we blended in a little bit of sour Dissident. So the Dissident that we use for this, we use a lot of sour wort, which is just an acidified wort to give us some acidity when we're in the brew house. The normal Dissident process after that, we inoculate with Brettanomyces and Lactobacillus. We're adding cherries. We didn't do any of that with this Dissident. It just went through its primary fermentation and then went straight into oak. So to give it a little bit of acidity back, we blended in some Dissident just from our normal processing that was in the process of souring to give it a nice little acidity. But this beer is ridiculous. I mean, apart from just the notes of smoke and there's some rye from Hair of the Dog's Fred. Dissident and Stoic just really lend a really nice like sweetness and body and some cherry notes that you actually get from the sour wort. And then on top of that, just really nice raisiny kind of fruit characteristics from that lengthy barrel aging process. Really nice oak character. This beer's got a lot of everything going on and pretty exciting. And I will point out too, this is a beer that we encourage people to age. With a lot of other beers with our reserve series, we'll actually put a best after date on the bottle to encourage people. I like to encourage people to try it fresh so you know where it's starting. But we'll put a best after date to encourage people to sit on some of those bottles for a year and really see how some of those characteristics start to round out and add complexity. So this hit its best after date April 30th, so it's drinking really well right now.
Right on. Cool. Thanks, man. So, yeah, moving into our food pairing with that, I was just kind of, you know, talking with Chef about, you know, what the direction was and when we were talking about this. And really, as you put it, we were kind of like a cheese plate on a cracker. So you want to like expand on that?
So what we were thinking about was that with a beer that is so complex, that is in a way all over the place in a very good way, we wanted to hit your palate in the same way. And in doing so, we decided to do a constructed cheese plate. So all of the aspects that we have before you are what you would find on a normal cheese plate that you would build yourself, and we wanted to get all of that into one bite. So the pumpernickel crude plays off of the rye barrels, you know, the figs, the cranberries, and the port reduction plays off of the Pinot Noir barrels, and just tried to hit as many of the aspects of the beer as we could and get it all into one bite.
Awesome, Chef. And that's exactly what, you know, what I thought, too. And I really like the way the addition of the vanilla in there, like you were saying. You know, in the wine world, obviously, when you're drinking a Chardonnay or a bigger red, you're going to get that really vanilla characteristics also with beer as well. I guess I shouldn't talk about wine here and get myself into trouble. But anyway, yeah, I just thought you did an awesome job with this. I love the brininess of the olives, the sweetness of the figs and pears. The way the caraway kicks off the pumpernickel, you know, really cool stuff. And obviously, the fried calabrese, pardon my Italian, is a salami that's been crisped, right? Now, do you do that in the oven or do you do that in the deep fryer?
We do that in the deep fryer. No need to count your calories here. We're, you know, let's do it right and do it well.
I love that, man. No Weight Watchers allowed at the GABF, right? I love that, man. And I love getting the new shaver for our beards, right? Cool. Well, you know, in expanding into the collage, I had a great experience, and I don't know if any of you had the opportunity. A couple other chefs from Oregon were down here from Wildwood Restaurant, Dustin and Paul, and those are friends of ours. They're right up the street, and it was really cool. I actually did the collage dinner with those guys at their place. And it was super fun because we paired each component, all four components of the beer, and then finished with the actual collage for the final course. And that was probably one of the coolest beer dinners I've ever gotten to do. I really respect what Alan and our team has put together. And obviously, if you haven't had Hair of the Dog, check them out too. They're great friends of ours. I'm going to get something to eat. So any questions out there, let us know.
Thanks, guys. Let's give it up for Jeff and Brandon as well. This last dish is ridiculous.
One more time for Deschutes Brewery and Providence Tavern. Thanks a lot, guys. Have a great GABF. Safe GABF.
Yeah, thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great festival. We have Angela, who is also a great team member of ours, just has a couple words.
Thanks for coming, guys. I just wanted to let you know that next Saturday, the 19th, at Providence Tavern, we're doing a fresh hop celebration. It's 10 different breweries from Colorado. It's $25. Proceeds go to the Freshwater Trust of Colorado. It's awesome. It's a lot of fun. There's music. So next Saturday, I've got some flyers for you.